Great mercy and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as you can tell, things are a little different today in terms of our service. But that's okay. This actually is one of the approved services of the Lutheran Church. And it's probably closer to our original service for those of you who have been here. All right. But I think there's a lot of things that are important today. Happy 4th of July. Our sermon today is religious beliefs of our founding fathers. More importantly, what does it mean for us today? Good question. Well, we have George Washington, not that. Thomas Jefferson. Madison, we have to know, we go to that list of presidents. Were they religious? Yes, they were. Who said that? Was that me? Who said that? But not all of them were what we consider Trinitarian. All right, we're going to talk about that here in a second. You know, George Washington, let's talk about him first. Father of our country, Anglican. In fact, he served on the vestry, which is the church council of the church he attended, all the while after his presidency until he passed. Okay. However, after the Revolutionary War, he never took the union again. Well, why is that? I mean, that's a pretty big step, isn't it? Well, one of the things that was big during this time period was what is called the Age of Enlightenment. Remember when we studied that in school years and years ago? Well, the Age of Enlightenment is, instead of I feel, therefore I am, it's I think, therefore I am. So if things don't make sense to man's reason, then it's not done. So is religion reason or is it feeling? Remember the third article of the Creed, I quote you all the time. Okay? What Luther wrote, I cannot by my own reason or faith know my Lord Jesus or something, but I am called to the gospel by the Lord. Okay? I cannot by my own reason. But yet, now in the Enlightenment period, everything is reason. Well, what came up during this time period? Well, there's a denomination that is called Deism, D-E-I-S-M. In Latin, Deus is God. In Greek, it's Theos. Both the same word, alright? So this is the study of God. Well, we know this religion today as it's the universal. Oh, I always do this because I can't think of it. Yeah, we've actually got one of them here in town. Well, it's the one problem then. Unitarian. There. Oh. Okay. Now, Unitarian is three, right? Uni is one. Okay. So instead of three, they have one. All right, so the Unitarian viewpoint, God is important. That they don't worry about the sound of the Holy Spirit. It's just God. Guess who was the deist? Remember that? George Washington. But he never left the Anglican Church. And we can talk about why all of this is important. Alright, next president. John Adams, right? John Adams was a very staunch Anglican. Both he and Martha, and then later on, John Quincy. You know, very strong, we call him just, but very strong Anglican. And then we get into James Thomas Jefferson, James Monroe, James Madison. Thomas Jefferson was a congregation. Right? We talk about that today, but not a few churches. But the Congregational Church was just as big as the Anglican Church in the early United States. big denomination. When Jefferson became president, the congregation was,
oh, we got whatever on this president.
We want you to make congregationalism a national religion. Well, did that work in Europe? No. Why didn't we want to bring the stakes over here? Okay. Well, they were very quiet about it. And Jefferson received a letter called the Danbury Baptist Church. He wrote it back. And he says, don't worry, we are not going to have a national religion. We didn't fight for separation. But I really do think there needs to be a separation between churches. How many times have you heard that quote?
Constitution.
Okay. Anywhere in that. There was just in a letter that he wrote. And what did he mean? He means I don't believe we need to have a national church. Did he say anything about not having a church? No. Very staunch Christian. Now I say Christian, but he was a Unitarian. Later on, after his presidency, he did believe the Congregational Church was a Unitarian. Now, he was a very strong believer in God. But he also said Jesus Christ, you know, is the important thing of the word person at home. So, he made his own Bible. He took the Bible, King James. He cut out all the narrative and left all the instructions from Paul and Jesus. And he put it together in a book called The Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth. That is the guide for how the people in the United States should live their lives. Jefferson, Bible, living your lives according to the Bible. Does this sound like somebody you was not religious? No. But what happens is the next couple of ones were more deist. They were Unitarian. Now, we've had five Unitarian presidents. Surprising, we've had no Lutheran one, only two Catholics. Why can't we be Unitarian? We're going to talk about that. The last one was William Howard Taft. Part of last century. Made a statement. And they said, aren't you upset about religion? And he said, no. He says, they elected a Unitarian, and they're thinking if they're willing to do that, more power to them. Now, here's one of the tenets of the Unitarian Church. Every man is encouraged to believe as he wants to. Does that mean the Trinity is wrong? No. Does that mean if you're Jewish, you can't believe that? If you're Muslim, if you're Buddhist, if you're Hindu, does the United States protect people's beliefs? Yes. Do I agree with them? But the thing is, it's not up to me to judge. It's the Bible says judge not that. Alright, so we have these people at the beginning that are staunch believers in God. Well, they might not be, you know, Trinitarian, a lot of them are conservative. But all of them still belong to mainline church, whether it is Baptist, Congregational, Anglican, all of these churches. So, as Jefferson wrote, we hope to see by our Creator for life, liberty, and safety of heaven. Now, does that sound like something you need to do? No. And that's why, even today, when I hear all this, people are saying, well, founding fathers were not religious. Sure they were. I mean, that's why we, a lot of times, they came here. Pennsylvania. Anybody here from Pennsylvania originally? Okay, take your family. Okay. Why?
Freedom of religion.
When they came over here, people had Roman Catholics to be in forbidden practice of religion. Come on over into Pennsylvania and you can practice. The thing is, as Americans, we may not agree, but we will fight to the death to protect what you believe. No time in the world has that ever happened. You know, as our reading today talks about a new creation, and I was thinking about that, I thought, isn't the United States a new creation? Had anything been like it ever before? No. You know, we were sort of talking earlier about the younger generation, not national song. Well, if you don't even know my country, it's going to be the sweet land of liberty of the I sing. I do that, you all know that. So the America that we love is different than the America they love, if they love what they have. Can they be different?
Thought what?
No, we can't.
Yeah.
So go ahead, please, next.
They used to say that 10% of the population. You know what it is today? About 6. What's going to happen in 4 years? No. Well, and that's sad, because, you know, when we talk about love, what's the definition of love? When you care about another person's happiness more than your own. Alright? Apply that to the country. You love the country. Do you care about someone else's happiness more than your own as American? Yes. Now, there were two people who were presidents that were real strong there. Okay, Thomas Paine.
Okay,
Thomas M. and Frank. Okay, so we have a lot of our founding fathers who were dead. Okay, single from the Unitarians and stuff. But, common sense, how many of you ever read Common Sense? Now, maybe years ago, right? There's a statement in there that I love. Democracy imposed from without is the worst form of tyranny. Can you force someone to be democratic?
No.
Can you force someone to be religious? Why would we try to create democracies around the world? How many of you knew that, Jim? You know, even for those of us who grew up in this, we don't read Common Sense. We don't read the Federal Statement. You know, one of the things when you look at the Constitution, you know, we've all studied the Constitution. But if you read the Federalist Papers, that were part of the first United States of America before 1776. Do you know that there were presidents of the United States before George Washington? The Federalist Papers of this is talking about all the things that lead to the writing of the Constitution. And you can see the arguments both for and against. I don't know about you, but if I'm trying to understand something, I need to know why we did it and why it's bad too. Because then you can start to make an evaluation of the decision. That's the beauty of America. But so far we've managed to keep freedom of religion. But when you look at things like the very center, I had a meeting in this time in Texas. And Eloy Gonzalez, first vice president of the Texas, and he was shocked. He said he's got our council of residents. He said we were told that within 20 years there would be no full time council. Why? Because we don't have enough people. Do you think the founding fathers today would be happy with our viewpoint on religion? I don't think so. Because they were religious people. They all lived together. I mean, you read, you know who was one of the greatest writers of this time period? Abigail Adams, John Adams. And she wrote a treatise on why Christianity is important for the United States. Yeah. You know, when you're like me, you got a doctor, you start having real stuff, you want to talk. But we're not taught about that anymore. And I think it's that. But God is one nation under God. Dwight Eisenhower, was he religious? Well, he's the one put under God. He grew up in a Christian sect in Texas. There was an offshoot of Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, it's not bad for somebody had to take a vote to Jehovah's Witnesses. But he decided he was going to follow that. During his presidency, he was baptized into Presbyterian. He's never been baptized. He's been making a statement. When the President of the United States says, I want to be baptized, what does that mean? Can you imagine one of our presidents doing
that?
Religious beliefs of our founding fathers that means for us today that we're still a Judeo-Christian. Judeo-Christian means we follow the Old Testament. Was the first true head of Homeland Security. He's the one that wrote all the policies and procedures of Homeland Security. You remember when they had the guy in the small plane over Washington and they were trying to gain that land? And they were trying to decide whether to shoot it down or not? For that, they were going to make that decision. Peggy's dad, he was an OSI agent for 45 years. He spent that long in the military. Second one, he used to have the longest enlistment of anybody that was in the military in the United States. Somebody's He wanted to get out. They didn't want to let him go because this is where he was at the lowest hiding. He could walk in and investigate general officers up to 2 stars. He was authorized to wear 3 stars. Do you know what his rank was? Chief Master Sergeant. But like he used to say, you know what his rank was? Lowest hiding. He had really no rank. So he could put on stuff and walk in and start telling the general. Well, but that's the thing. I mean, when you are investigating, isn't it good to have somebody that can make those decisions? I don't care if he was it or what. I mean, if you've proven it, what he's doing, let him do it. I think sometimes we forget that our military, I'm just sort of talking to you today, our military is run by enlistments. I mean, when you're in a petty office, then you're the one who's going to do it. Do the officers run it?
No.
Well, or if you got a good one, he'll be making decisions.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's not the one who's got to make those decisions work. Okay?
Like the final secretary.
That's good. Well, in closing today, I mean, I've sort of rambled here a little bit now. But I do believe God is with us. I do believe that we will still remain a Judeo-Christian people. Even with baptism, not baptism, with Buddhists and Muslims and everything else. That we have a problem.
Oh, that's
a problem. One of my brothers in Canada was arrested. He was preaching, and you know, a name of Rome talks about family and men. The great work for that is male and female men. He was preaching. And the police came in, that's it, preaching. But I do believe that God is with us. And I pray that He would just align us right now. Give us enough faith to hang on to us. And then we can come and say, all right, now it's time to listen.
You know,
Middle America, which is flying from the press. In fact, I'm told that Middle America is just a place. We have 2 days of that in New York. So, God has got a plan. He made this plan of God. Our hearts and minds in Christ now.